Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another Reseller's Mindset Podcast episode. Mike next to Johnny. Johnny's laughing because we had to do that twice. I completely botched the first intro, and that's A-okay. My question for Johnny is, now that reselling has become more cool, I guess you would say more hip, has it lost the profitability side of things? And I kind of say this because I'm out in the thrift stores every single week, and I see a lot of younger kids wearing the vintage style, you know, shirts and clothes, even the vintage style furniture. That type of stuff has seemed like a huge resurgence almost. And I think it's tough to balance the cool with the profitability on the back end. But I will say this, the stuff I see the kids going for, right, like the vintage tees and the type of furniture and the weird like art style type items these kids are buying, it's actually profitable and in demand, right? They're not worried about the junk me and you are after. You never see the kids going in there chasing down the books. They're always like going to the clothing racks and flying through the clothes to see what they can find. I'm curious what your take is on how it's, I think it's kind of shifted here over the past year. I think reselling is as cool as it's ever been. But I will say, you know, at the end of the day, I don't resell to be cool. I resell to make money and pay the bills.
I'm going to lean with it's more on the cool side and more so on the social club side within the cool sphere. I see it as more of a not just look at me Instagram post, but the types of resellers, the newer resellers I'm seeing coming in. And I don't, well, maybe disrespectfully, maybe not disrespectfully, I'm going to say they're not business owners. And I know this. And when I'm in groups and try to treat them as business owners, I have to stop, and just because they're not, and I'm wasting my time by trying to, I don't know, impart some wisdom onto them. They're not there for the wisdom. They're there to hang out and sell cool things, or quote unquote cool things, and not run a business. Can you have both? That's a tall order. I've seen it done, but usually they find out they make more money one or the other, and the other thing takes a back seat, especially for like in YouTube reseller land or Instagram reseller land, like they have an Instagram store and all that. But also with the rise with live selling, again, more social club things. Hi, Jim, you buy for me a lot. I don't know Jim on eBay who buys for me a lot, and I don't say hi to him either. I just take Jim's money. So I do think there's a social club coolness factor beyond the swag, but the swag stuff I think has been around a lot longer. Like, hey, look what I got. Cool score.
Yeah. I think the live selling's kind of changed the game completely when it comes to the overall landscape, because you're like a personality, right? Like you're a TV star almost. And these people come to every single one of your live sales and they buy something from you, even if they really don't want it or need it. And they're willing to pay whatever it takes to get the item specifically from you. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I will say a lot of people, especially as we trend downwards with this IRS requirements, where like this year it's going to be like $2,500 or whatever. I think a lot of the cool kids are going to get impacted by this, because before it used to be 20 grand. You could sell a lot of cool stuff and be under that threshold. So theoretically, you wouldn't have to report that income to the IRS and pay taxes on it. I think that is kind of going to, you know, make the cool kids either realize, all right, this needs to be treated like a business, or just altogether give up with, you know, the idea of live selling and selling the cool expensive items. Because I mean, there's shirts out there that will put you over $2,500. You find one of these, you know, super rare t-shirts, there you go, right? You got to pay taxes on that. And we don't think about that when we find it. And the social media aspect of it, like Johnny was saying, right? Like it's cool to have a large following on social media. It's cool to wake up to have DMs every single day. It's cool to have a million likes on one of your Instagram reels. So I think we're only going to see more of that, because the market is there still to make a lot of money reselling. It's just, I mean, I appreciate seeing younger people get involved in reselling. Like, and I appreciate the fact that stuff they want to sell to them is in style and they actually make good money on it, right? It's not like it's just junky stuff they're chasing after. I mean, these are $100+ shirts, the furniture, anything you can think of. There's almost a market for it now because retro and vintage is so hot in any facet of imagination that people are making a lot of money off stuff that me and Johnny probably wouldn't think is cool, right? Like I don't know, I'm never going to pay hundreds of dollars for a t-shirt, but like there's people out there willing to do it because it's cool to have the original Jurassic Park t-shirt that one of the, crew members had on set when they were filming it.
What annoys me, and it's a subset of a subset, is there's resellers who, like, I don't know, listing 10 to 20 items a day, and they're barely scraping by, but they're okay with it, and they have no aspirations to turn this into a business and grow their business. They just want to do that. Those are the people that annoy me the most. And I'm like, you're wasting my time. If you're going to treat this unprofessionally, why are you in a professional group to learn and grow and get better and make your business better? Get the F out.
I think you're
Leave.
right. I think what happens here is that these old timers, not necessarily age-wise, but like your reselling business is old in like the retrospect. So an old reselling business would probably be somebody that's in business for like 2+ years, we'll say, just for the sake of this argument, is that they're grinding and they're selling the junk, right? Like the Menace to Society CDs, and like they're making like $3, $4 a piece, and then some 20-year-old hops on Whatnot. And he's got 100 vintage band tees that he paid, $1,000 for that he's going to sell for $10,000. And it just instantly creates like this saltiness factor, right? Like you're instantly salty that you've been working for over 2 years, you're still making nickels and dimes, and this kid, his first Whatnot stream, or maybe he launches eBay store and you get recommended his YouTube channel or his Instagram or his TikTok. And he's selling like 100x what you are every single day. I think that kind of creates the I guess disconnection of people like me and Johnny who've been doing this for a while, but we actually make money. So we're not salty. We're happy for those people. But the people that aren't making money that have been doing this for a while, and they see the kid run in when the thrift store opens and run straight to the clothing rack. I've literally seen this. They're like, oh man, what a scumbag. Like, I think you're just salty at the end of the day. Like, I think you are 100% envious that some young kid who's basically following the trend, what's going on in society, what people actually want, which you should be doing in reselling, right? Like, you should be keeping up with things. You should be making changes. But I don't know, man. I think it's like, it's
Well,
crazy.
the subset I'm talking about, we see it very little in your group because it's smaller. I see it a little bit in Tech's group because it's a larger group. They're paying this membership fee of 30 some odd dollars. And they log on and they go, hey, look what I got. It's cool, blah, 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 for cool reason. And they'll do this for the whole haul. And this is after hours, not during any call, because he's got a 24-hour room over there. I'm sitting there and I'm wanting to pull my hair out or reach through this computer screen and strangle this person. And then it just transcends to this is my life. Here's me talking about my life. It has nothing to do with business. It's just their personal life. And it's this weird social aspect, like they don't have friends in real life or we're there to listen to them. And it's like a cheap form of therapy. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it because it has nothing to do with business. If you need professional help, please go get professional help because w the reselling groups are not for that. I'm sorry, they're not. And is it everyone? No, it's a very small subset of people, but I do see it. And I don't know, I guess the people like you post, and I'm guilty of this, I post GIFs and other people post pictures of cats. I don't care about pictures of your cats. It has nothing to do with the business, but I'm very business focused and I get it. People do have a life. And there is some camaraderie that goes along with like sports ball, which you guys talk about sports ball, and I'm okay with that. But it's quick. It's like 10 seconds long. Good. Yay. Team did well. Move on. Back to business. These people, it's not. It's the whole segment last an hour, 45 minutes. It's redonkulous long, and I hate it.
I think what you're missing here, because you don't value it, but I know a lot of people do, is like follower count, right? Like likes, how many likes is my stuff getting, right? Like people subscribers count on YouTube. People value that like more than they do money, right? Like
Fair.
give me 1 million subscribers on YouTube or $1 million, right? Like there's kids out that are going to take the subscribers every single time. And I think you can win in both aspects of it because there's people out there doing it right now, and you just have to be willing to figure out what you want to do, right? Think about it. These people that are crushing like the cool categories right now are like super into it, right? Like this is their niche. We always talk about niching down. Well, guess what? They know exactly what they're looking for. Believe it or not, they've actually done the research. They know if they see, the Def Leppard t-shirt, band shirt from 1993, it's this one, it's worth this much before they even grab it off the rack. They do the research because it's interesting to them, right? Versus maybe the average reseller who's just out there looking for anything that they can make a dollar on. You're really not as invested in it because you're just looking at, oh, well, I'm just going to sell whatever I can to make a dollar. When these kids or, the new generation of reselling's like, listen, I'm looking for these specific lamps, right? These lamps are super hot. And if I ever come across this, this lamp, I know it's worth that much, right? Like instantly, I know I'm buying that thing instantly. I give them credit for kind of jumping into a space where it's almost been conquered by people that are just like, you can make a lot of money, but it's going to take a lot of work. I don't think a lot of these people are really working that hard because they know where to get their stuff, right? You're not going to find the majority of these items sitting on the Goodwill rack, right? They know they got to build a relationship with the rag shop or, some next level to have in their relationship. So they're already leaps and bounds ahead. And I don't think they realize it because they just see it as cool. They're just like, I love what I sell. I'm going to make a lot of money. And I'm really not thinking about the next level. And I think in that aspect of it, it's okay to enjoy it and make a lot of money. And then you can kind of figure out what you want to do. That's why it's intriguing to me. Like these people I see, just like, man, like for me, it's the vintage t-shirts. Like that whole category is crazy to me, how much people are willing to pay for some of these shirts. And some of the younger generations out there that are willing to pay for it, willing to have businesses revolving around it. And you don't see them going into the thrift store and buying 100 vintage t-shirts. You might see one YouTube video out there where they maybe find like 5 or 10, but they're already at the relationship level. They understand that the thrift stores ain't going to make or break their business because it's not there. They know it's not there. Sure, you might hit one every once in a while, but they automatically have to go to that next level of having a profitable relationship. That's all it comes down to at the end of the day. Any reselling business is all relationship based.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
There we go. There's some key things. If you're going to build a big following like that, to me, it's like, what's the monetization or how are you going to monetize it at the end of the day? Or else to me, again, I don't get the dopamine hit from followers. It's like, okay, well, you have followers. What are you going to do with the followers? Are you getting DM behind the scenes, getting access to cool deals? Okay, I'm all for that if that's what's actually happening. Or are you planning to open like a merchandise store? Okay, now there's money behind this building clout, look at me kind of stuff. If that's your business model, cool. It's not a business model I personally necessarily want to do, but it is a, I see the money then. If you're getting $20, $30, $40 items that are the haul videos or whatever, you're building something. It's a different kind of grind. So maybe you make up for, okay, I got a $20 item. It's super cool though. But I also know I'm going to get 5,000 subscribers or 5,000 views on this video, which is going to translate to X dollars. Okay, that worthless, well, I'm not worthless. That $20 item is now a $50 item. Okay, it's a different way to do business and sourcing, but I can see the appeal in the, because the money's there at that point.
Yeah, for sure. So it's like they add on, the new generation adds on this extra stream of income, which is, their TikTok Live, their TikTok shops, their YouTube income, right? Their ad revenue on YouTube. I think it's super smart to have as many streams of income that you possibly can have. And I
That's
think
a
that
good point. I didn't think about that. They have multiple streams of revenue for sourcing one item.
yes.
Okay. That was a click for me. There you go, Mike.
I mean, it's sure, like it's going to take a while to grow a social media following, a YouTube channel, but I think, that's what this next generation is, right? It's electronic, it's digital, it's videos, it's vlogs of everything you're doing. Not even they don't want to see the business stuff. They don't want to hear you talk about this, that, or this. They just want to see the cool stuff, right? Like, they don't care where you got it from. They just want you to
They're
show
more into
them.
like title and SEO optimization than I am about the perfect listing.
Yes, they just want to, the people they're after to subscribe to their channels. They just want to see the dope t-shirts that they got that they're going to resell. They just want to see the cool furniture, the cool whatever it may be,
Or the
the cool.
proper hashtags. Yeah.
I think it's great. And trading cards is another one where there's a lot of cool factor in it when it comes to, having a social media following and doing live breaks and things like that. There's so many ways they're monetizing reselling that just your average eBay seller or your average Amazon seller, like, sure, the argument is, well, if I just focus on my business, you'll make more money. Well, most likely, yes. But it's a different generation. It's a different mindset completely around reselling. It's more of a social aspect, like Johnny was saying, than it is an actual business aspect, but they still make money on the back end. That's kind of the benefit to it. And those are the ones that are winning, the new resellers that are passionate about what they're doing, and they're in a trendy category, right? Like, if you look at eBay, they got like the authentication for certain collectibles, right? Like the sneakers, the cards. That's what we're talking about here. The cool kids selling that type of stuff, making a lot of money, but they don't even think of it as a business because it's so cool to them, right? Like, what could I sell that would possibly be so cool to me? Like, it wouldn't even, like, if I could just have a whole business related to selling like Halloween memorabilia, right? Like, I have an infinite access to Michael Myers memorabilia and I could just sell it forever and be that like hype man around that franchise. Like, that's kind of my equivalent to it. And when
You
you
probably
got
do
to
that for free because you just have so much fun with it.
When yeah, when you got the stuff, you got the stuff, right? I would need the relationship to always be getting more of this type of inventory. People would know, hey, he's the guy. You want something Halloween related? I'm going to him. And it's kind of the same aspect when it comes to the live selling and getting a following, growing a following, and translating that into money, right? Because at the end of the day, we need money to survive. So what they do is that's what they do. They build their social media, they push out content that people want to see, which is not the used book guy content where I talk about how to do certain things and settings and repricers. No, they got the flashy stuff that people want to see. The $1,000 item, right? The item they got for a dollar that, is going to sell for $2,000. That's what gets people in the door. But there has to be a back end to that, right? Because it can't just be a one-time thing because your following is going to go away. You're not going to get all your followers from one post or one video. So you got to continue to grow that aspect of it. And that's what they do. That's what the kids do nowadays, Johnny, right? They're on their phones. It's content, 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 24/7, getting the views, getting the likes, making money on the back end. That's the future of reselling, man.
You say so. I'm a grinder through and through, so that's my game. That being said, I'm on the podcast, right? I do calls and all this, that, and the other. So I'm there a little bit, but it's not my focus, honestly. But no, here's another thing. Sometimes people ask, what's the most expensive thing you've sold? Like, I don't know. Let me go look it up. I don't really care about that. I care about my bottom line. What did I get for the month? I don't care about a singular sale. And that breaks their brain that I don't, because we're thinking differently, right? They want to see the cool, flashy McFlash. And like, I don't care about the cool, flashy McFlash. I care about what's going in my bank account. And it's
It's
like,
the same with me, dude. Everybody in the group, probably everybody that listens to this podcast, will 100% sell a more expensive item than I will this year. Like, it's pretty much guaranteed. I'm not like sure if I come across the gem, but like, I've never sold anything like that was super crazy, right? I don't even think I ever sold anything over like 300, $400
I
in
mean,
my
I was that
lifetime.
way. I've had one expensive sale, and it was some dumb magician book I found at the bottom of a pallet that was signed. They only made 30 of them, and half the magicians in there were dead. And I actually sold it to a living magician. That was the coolest thing I've ever sold. I thought it was cool at the time, but I've seen other books I thought that were equally cool. They just aren't valued at that level. They're like a couple $100s. When people ask that, they seem disappointed when I give that answer, like, oh, there's no glory in books. I'm like, no, it's about the money.
It's tough to kind of get it through because, like we're talking about here, right? The cool factor is being like, yeah, like I sell a $1,000 book every month, right? You know, I've sold this one, I sold that one, I sold that one. They're like, hey, what have you ever sold that's over $1,000, Mike? And I'm like, scratching my head. I'm like,
I've done it
nothing.
once. Done it once.
Like I got nothing, and they're like, oh, unfollow,
Yeah.
unsubscribe. I don't have the
I
cool
think we're like the
factor.
antiquarian crowd where that's all they kind of target.
Yeah.
And you and I are not antiquarian sellers.
I'm a sell-through guy. Give me my fast money all the time. But it's not cool, it's not flashy. I get that, but I'm like Johnny said, the grinding type where I just want to make money to cover my bills, put money away for retirement, so I don't have to resell my whole life. And I think that's another thing with the younger generation of reselling is like they don't see this as like a life plan, right? They're just like, I'm gonna make, 30
This is
G's
what I'm
this
going to
year.
do until I figure out what I want to do.
I'm just gonna run this up as much as I can, and I'm just gonna pivot away. I'm like, some of us have been reselling for all these years, and we're like, I still live dollar to dollar, and I got no money, and I got no plan. Like that, I think that kind of what pisses off a lot of us that have been reselling a while is like, we've been doing this for years, and this person just came on the scene, and they're selling X amount of dollars, and like, yeah, you're gonna be salty about it, but like, what's stopping you from doing that? Nothing.
Yeah. And again, I don't think they're necessarily wrong, and it's a new generation of selling. It's just not, I'm an old man, Mike. It's not my generation of
Yeah.
reselling. To me, it's like you do the hard work and you get paid for it. And that's all there is. I don't have to worry about followers, subscribers, view counts, this, that, and the other. Do I see a benefit to it? Yeah, we mentioned a couple of them earlier. Like if you're able to get relationships to get bigger deals, go for it. If that's the play, like you're not hitting that in your local area. Well, increase it to the internet and then you'll get a couple. I mean, even doing this, I've gotten a couple and they've been great. Or there's smaller relationships like, hey, I got a box of books for you, Johnny Inch. Like, yeah, I'm interested. Go ahead and mail that out.
But dude, see the thing here is you work hard, but it's hard work that has a payoff, which we can't sit here and say that the majority of resellers do, right? A lot of resellers work really hard and the payoff really isn't on the back end. And that this is the thing I struggle with for years and years is if we have a business where the margins are what they are, like we all should be, having a pretty nice bank account on the back end, right? Regardless of where you live, regardless of what your overhead cost is. So the problem with it is Johnny can sit here and say, yeah, he works hard and that's fine because the bank account goes up and I can say the same thing. But the opposite side of that coin is people that have been reselling for a while and maybe aren't getting the results, right? So instead of seeing that kid who's like, selling 20K a week on eBay or whatnot or wherever that may be, instead of seeing that kid and being like, wow, like that's eye-opening, we see it as, oh man, oh that's not real, or like that's not possible. And you just kind of take the opposite approach instead of being like, wow, like maybe I should take a second look at what I'm doing, right? Because if I've been doing this for 5 years and this kid makes 10 grand a week and I'm making 10 grand th in 3 months, like maybe I should take a second look at what I'm doing, because clearly if I'm motivated and I want to have a profitable business, what I'm doing ain't it, right? And sure, if it's something you're not passionate about, then yeah, right? I'm never going to sell the vintage t-shirts. But like, it doesn't even have to be topic related. It can just be business related. Like, maybe you can take something away from that person that's like, well, here's my relationship. Here's how I get the stuff I sell. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. I don't have to rely on the Goodwill bins, right? I don't have to go to the Goodwill bins 5 days a week. I can build a relationship. Then your business kind of blows up overnight. There's so much more to it than just the cool factor, but I do think a lot of people get offended and like turned off when they see somebody brand new selling X amount of dollars when they've been doing it for years and they've never hit those numbers.
We've had Jack on the call, so I'll mention him. We had an interest. It was his call that I attended, and we kind of went off a little bit on people should stop reselling, and if you fall in this category, you should just stop, period. And one of those is what you just mentioned. Like after 5 years, and you're making no money, or you're making the same money you were doing in year one, you probably should just give it up. Or time to have that hard sit down and analyze your business, and or change the entire business. So what you're doing is just plain out not working. You're going to get outpaced by simple inflation, bottom line. And we've seen people like resell out of their vehicles and they live in their vehicles. Unless you're li if unless you've chosen to live the van life or the RV life, you're effectively homeless in my opinion, and you're just paying to fill up the tank and eat a couple meals of ramen. You should probably reevaluate your business. I know you're all in at that point, literally, because you have nothing. So maybe take a step back and see, okay, how do I get out of the van life into a house life? What business model does that look like for myself? And think about it like that. And as far as all, can you have fame and fortune? I think you can have both. But if you don't necessarily care about the fame, maybe just grind it out like us grinders that are talking to you right now. You don't necessarily need to be on YouTube or Instagram or this, that, and the other, and that'll give you more minutes to pump into the grind part. If you want to split focus for relationship building, I'm all for that. Or if you figure out some other ways to monetize, like we're talking about, I'm all for multiple streams of income. I'm more power to you if you can make that work. But you gotta choose, and if you're unsure, you haven't really chosen. You're just doing the status quo of whatever that is. And maybe it's working, maybe it's not, but maybe it's time to make a decision. Make a call. What kind of reseller are you?
I agree because I think about it this way. I say it all the time. If this was any harder than it is for me, like I'd probably be better off just going and getting a job, right? Like I'm not going to grind this out to make the money I make because guess what? We got no retirement match. We got no health benefits from eBay or Amazon, right? Like I firmly believe that if you are working super hard in the reselling and making no money, it is time for you to move on to something else because these people work too hard to make the little bit of money they do. I'm just thinking to myself, like, there's so many better ways, easier ways to make money, right? Like, think about it. Somebody brand new comes onto the scene, has one relationship, and they have an infinite supply of basically great inventory versus somebody who's been doing this grinding thrift stores, which is the big thing, grinding these garage sales 5 days a week, making less than six figures a year. We need to take a step back because this ain't it. You are spending way too much money and time to get little to nothing back, right? Like, just you got to figure something else out. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's a lot of resellers that just drag it along, drag it along, drag it along. Yeah, I have multiple streams of income, and there's so many other stupid, easier ways to make money than doing what I do, doing what me and Johnny do, having this podcast, having the YouTube channel, having the group. This is like one of the hardest ways to try to make a damn dollar. Like, I could just go do stupid influencer videos that are 20 seconds long and get paid forever from Amazon, right? I could go do whatever it may be. I could go to a job, 9 to 5 job, Monday through Friday, make $35 an hour, have the benefits, have the retirement match, right? I don't know what it is with resellers and not just dragging it out. It's because anybody can do it and anybody and it. I guess the cool factor does play into it at some point, though, right? Because the reason you keep dragging it out is because you think you're cool when you tell people, I got my own reselling business. Yeah. And then when they ask, how much do you sell? And you're like, I sell about an item a month, right? Like, well, I talk about my reselling business. I'm talking about how much I'm selling, right? Like, yeah, I sell stuff. Here's how much I'm making, right? Like, that's the first thing coming off my mouth is, here's what I'm selling. Here's how much I'm making. Here's my sales, this, that. Whenever I have a conversation with somebody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, versus being like, oh, I got a little eBay store and I keep the stuff on this nice little pretty shelf that I have. And yeah, it's so cool. You should come check it out sometime. And then the person comes over and, like, well, can you like pack an order? Can you ship anything? Like, can you do something here? And they're like, well, I don't have anything to ship. It's slow season right now. You know, the sun's not shining and there's a storm coming and nobody's buying from me.
Where I see people struggle with, like what you're saying, the most, it's because they don't have full lens clarity, is when they have a husband or wife who's making money at day job and they decide to do supplemental income. And instead of getting a part-time or full-time job themselves, they want to do the reselling. It may be because they like it because they got kids and it's a flexible schedule, but they may make 20 or 40,000 extra, which is good. I mean, you're stacking on to your spouse's the global household funds, but and they justify it that way. But I want them to say, no, I want to make more than my husband or spouse or equal to. That way, it's not a competition per se, but you should want to make more than the other person because that's a business at my point, and that can be your first benchmark, making more than them. I'm not saying be ruthless competitive with them, but I'm saying that should be an initial goal because you've at least doubled your income. Can you imagine if you double your household's income, what life-changing abilities that will give you? That small house you're in, you can move into that dream house of yours with that kind of money if you double your income. Or, you know what? We're planning on Billy, Cindy, and Bobby Sue going to community college. You know what? They could be Harvard grads if they want to. We got money in the bank for that. It's giving yourself the opportunity of options with the income empire you've built for yourself. But again, it's harder to see when you have full-time income with a partner that's doing that and you're bringing in, I don't know, X dollars. It's hard to evaluate it like that because you're fine. All your bills are paid. You got a roof over your head, three hots in a cot, right? I mean,
How many days, how many 10-hour days at the Goodwill bins every week for you to quit reselling? If I said, if Johnny, if you want to keep reselling, I need you to be at the Goodwill bins, open to close X amount of days. How many days would somebody have to tell you you got to be there for you to quit?
just I have to be. Why? I don't want to be there for
You don't
one
have a
10-hour
choice.
shift.
You don't have a choice. If you want to continue reselling, you have to be at the Goodwill bins, open to close X amount of days. How many days is your threshold?
Before I just quit reselling,
Yeah.
don't want that life, so it's probably like one day.
One day. I am, dude, believe it or not, I am in agreement. I'll go for one day a week if that was like, if I had to, right? If I wanted to keep my Amazon business. I'd be willing to do one full day at the Goodwill bins every single week. And honestly, like that would probably get old after like 4 weeks, and I'd be like, the hell with this. But this is what
It's
we're
the
talking
idle
about.
time that gets to me. That's like sitting on my hands. I constantly have to be doing something. And if they aren't rotating my stuff at a frequent basis, or they got stuff sitting in a pallet for them to go through, I'm done. I don't want to be there anymore. I got to be doing something.
There's easier ways to, there's more enjoyable, easier ways to make money. No one's going to sit here and tell me that that's enjoyable, going to the same thrift store 5 days a week for 10 hours, right? Like, just go get a great job at that point. You're going to make more money. There's l way less risk in that aspect of it, right? You already have no life.
You know what I got? If you love that life, there are two options. Either you're really good at bins shopping and you got the wherewithal to sit there between rotations, pack your lunch, be there all day, right? Good for you. But if you're just like a mediocre reseller, I've seen it before. You become a sourcer for somebody and you get paid way more money than you would yourself being a reseller. Go work for, if you love that lifestyle, but you're making no money, go work for Joe, who Joe is going to have some requirements for you to pick out the stuff at the bins, but you're going to make way more money working for Joe because Joe pays you every week based on how many pieces you give him. It
Yeah,
doesn't
but
really
that's not
matter
as
what.
cool. That's not as cool, though.
It's not cool at all, but it's technically a job at that point. It's steady.
It's tough. I think you can have both. I think as technology continues to crazily advance, right? Like AI is only a piece of what it's going to be in the future. It's only going to get harder for the smaller person. I mean, think about this, right? Like we in the media business space, all the mega sellers have the conveyor belts, right? So we can never process as much as the conveyor belt. I think we're going to see those types of innovations in other categories, right? Like you've already kind of seen it with clothing, where they can just lay something flat on a conveyor belt. It takes the photos and knows exactly what the brand is, exactly what the measurements is. I think this is what we're trending towards. So I think kind of niching down and getting with the trends is a good way to make a lot of money reselling. You don't have to be cool. But you better be making damn money. If you're not cool, you better be making money. If you're making money, you can try to be cool, right? Maybe you squeeze your way and kind of be kind of cool, right? I think I'm kind of cool at the end of the day, but
Or open yourself up a brick and mortar, be a boutique shop, be the
yeah.
vintage t-shirt shop. There's plenty of those going on. Or the antiquarian bookshop, if you're an antiquarian seller and maybe you want to do some extra income there, in addition to your eBay. Or, I don't know, the retro video game shop. These are things that exist and they make from what I hear from people doing them, they make decent money. Maybe even better than online business, but they had the gumption to go out and do that because they realized what they were. It's that self-realization that I think most people don't have because, like we said earlier, I think they're just floating along, either trying to figure out what they want to do or they're hoping for the best and getting the worst results.
I agree. I'm going to wrap it up here with the cool slash profitable argument. You can have both. I think we're going to see more changes in the resale landscape over the next 3 to 5 years than we ever have previously, right? It's only going to continue to change. There's going to be new platforms. There's going to be new options. And it's okay when somebody else comes along and is brand new and is making more money than you. Don't be salty about it. Like, be happy for them and see what you can take away from how they built their business to what it is today. It's not always a bad thing when live selling becomes a big thing. Do you think I'm worried about Amazon going under because of it? No, not at all, right? I'm like, that's cool. You want to live that life? Then, hey, knock it out the park. Make as much money as you can. But at the end of the day, the cool people make a lot of money for the most part, right? Like, so let's get with the cool kids. We don't got to be cool, but if we're going to be grinders like Johnny's talking about, we better be making damn money because we're not doing the social media. We're not doing the YouTube channels. I say it all the time. Everybody should be making a lot more money than me if you're doing this full time because you're not juggling everything. And yeah, the multiple streams of income pays off. But like I said, if you just focus solely on the business, the argument can always be made until the end of times. You're always going to make more money than somebody who's trying to build social media, a live stream audience while reselling. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.